100 days on the place, yeah, man. It's a kick it, you know. That's right.
Yeah, me rolling and rock it to the beat, and me love the sound.
Oh, Chess, you can mess with the sound. Better grab your girl, your posse, and gather round.
Yeah, me rolling and bobbing and going like a mad man. Oh, the man got the sweet day off and 19 no long, so me say.
Hey, 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 Digital Sister back. I've been on a little hiatus because of the 4th of July weekend, but you knew I wouldn't stay away from you very long. How's everybody? I want to thank my listeners all over the world, and I thank you for making Digital Sister a truly international podcast. I have some new friends that are downloading in Haifa, Israel, in England, Edmonton, Calgary, Canada, big fan base in Boston, another big fan base in Denver, and in California. I really thank you for tuning in, and I thank you for spreading the word and passing the message around of Digital Sister. Thank you so much for tuning in. I'm very excited about how the podcast is growing. Woo! There's a lot of stuff to talk about. But I'm just going to narrow it down to a few interesting things, so I'm not keeping you online forever. But anyway, you got your lighter? Put your lighters up. Duh, duh, duh. Put your lighters up. Duh, duh, duh. Now, you know, that's all about Lil' Kim. Our Queen Bee was released from prison on July 3rd. She's still on house arrest, but at least she's home. Now, I had a chance to check out Countdown to Lockdown, which was the special that the Edmonds company, which is Tracy Edmonds, formerly Babyface's wife, produced along with Queen Bee Entertainment, which is Lil' Kim. But anyway, Countdown to Lockdown was a video that was done about, you know, 14 days before Lil' Kim was set to go off to jail last September. It gave us a little bit of insight as to who she was. It didn't give me a lot of insight, but I guess, you know, the way things are today, you don't have to tell a lot, and people think they've seen a lot. But anyway, what I thought was very interesting, Ja Rule, one of his comments was, and I quote, "She got ill credibility." Okay, now because she's been locked up, now she's got credibility. Interesting, very interesting. But we saw in the show Countdown to Lockdown that an old friend of hers, Mary J. Blige, was there. And Mary J. said, you know, she hadn't probably been around and been as supportive as perhaps she could have been. But, you know, she was a good friend, and they've known each other forever. And she was there. And it was basically like a going away party. And at one point, Lil' Kim, you know, broke down because, you know, rightfully so, she was scared, as anybody would be when your freedom is lost and you have to go away. But, you know, thank God she's back. And she was let out early for good behavior. So I'm hoping that, again, I said this in much earlier podcast, that she will use this time to rejuvenate herself, look at the people around her, you know, change some of those people. But Lil' Kim needs to get back to just making some good music and stay focused. Don't get sidetracked with trying to be in all these other videos. And I'm talking about Methods of Mayhem with Tommy Lee. I think, you know, they had one little hit, if that so. But, you know, stay focused on your music and stay focused on what Lil' Kim is about. I think the comment that I have about Countdown to Lockdown was, it really didn't give us much insight into Lil' Kim the artist. We got a picture of Lil' Kim the diva, but not much on Lil' Kim the artist. And I would have liked to learn a little bit more about the artist. We know because of her background with Biggie that he was a big influence, but I kind of would like to know who were some of her, perhaps, you know, female rappers of influence. You know, there was MC Light, Yo-Yo, you know, Mary J. Blige, Salt-N-Pepa, you know, all those people around that era. So, and they were probably a little bit earlier. But I still would kind of like to have known a little bit about Lil' Kim more the artist instead of Lil' Kim the diva. And I keep saying Lil' Kim the diva because on one particular spot in Countdown to Lockdown, she was going to do a video shoot for a song. I believe it's called See Me. But, you know, she showed up 4 hours late for this shoot, which was to be done at the Met. And claiming that she didn't have the right clothes, et cetera, et cetera. But again, you know, you're keeping everybody waiting 4 hours, you know, for no reason. So that's why I say there's a little bit of the diva thing going on there. And she did talk a little bit about Put Your Lighters Up. You know, she wanted that to be an anthem and a theme for Brooklyn, which is, you know, where she was from. And I personally, I love it. I love the song. I think it really jams, and I think it's really cool. We did get a little glimpse of her as the artist because she had a guy, Kirk, who was the director of the video. And what we saw is that, you know, she didn't like what he had selected as cut. So we did get a little bit to see the artist and how she, you know, was trying to control her image and what she wants the public to see. So I hope perhaps if they do another Countdown to Lockdown that they will get more into her as an artist and get more into showing, you know, how she does her work, how she decides, you know, who she's going to use as producers, how she's looking at this cut. Because I think which got lost in the video of Countdown to Lockdown, we didn't really get to see that, really. I think Lil' Kim has some business acumen, and she's really controlling her image, so to speak. She has Queen Bee Entertainment. So I would like to see, and I hope that they do, another, let's say, Countdown to Lockdown 2, where we can see more of Lil' Kim the artist, Lil' Kim the entrepreneur, Lil' Kim, you know, the hit maker. That's what I would like to see. She has a good opportunity to really, I think, put a good spin on that experience of being in jail and coming out and the fact that she was on good behavior. So maybe in some way, it was some time to get her to think and maybe to get her refocused on staying true with her music and, you know, looking at producing other artists. And I'm not sure if she has a label with Queen Bee, but maybe starting a label. But staying focused on her music, that's what's going to do good for her. And let's remember, she's one of the best-selling, consistently best-selling female rappers out there. So I don't think we've heard the end of her, and I hope that we haven't, because I like her music, and I think she can do some good things. But, you know, now it's time for her to get focused, you know, leave some of that dead weight behind her, get a fresh outlook, and just focus on putting out some good music, because the people will buy it. Okay, people love her, and they're going to buy it. So I say, welcome back, Lil' Kim. We're glad to have you home, and we can't wait for you to put out some more good slamming music. Glad to have you home. Now let's move a little bit on and talk about Dave Chappelle, because I, like everybody else, cannot figure this guy out. You know, my last podcast, I talked about how we called up Hot 97 and wanted to talk about his block party. But inevitably, the DJ asked about, you know, why he walked away from that $50 million contract with Comedy Central. And then he hung up the phone, you know, and complained about that. But, you know, Chappelle, I think, you know, he just kind of blew an opportunity to me because, hey, maybe you didn't want to do the show, but one more year wasn't going to kill you. And for $50 million, do you know the kind of things he could have done? He could have set up his own company. He could have set up his own show. He could be, you know, producing and looking for other new comics to develop. He could be doing a whole lot of stuff. But instead, you know, we get caught with a self-centered, you know, probably slightly off the hook guy who really wasn't thinking. I mean, he wasn't thinking about what he could do with this $50 million. But you know, the network was, because what happened? It's the same thing that happened back with Living Color back in the mid-90s. But let me stay with Dave Chappelle for a moment. What happens? Okay, he taped a couple of shows. They're called Three Lost Episodes, and they were shot for the beginning of the third season, which is when he bolted and ran off to South Africa, you know, for this spiritual retreat. But in any event, you know, they own it. The network owns it. And what's happening? They're reformatting the show without him, of course, and two of his co-stars have been enlisted to become co-hosts of the show, and they're going to just kind of show those three lost episodes. And they're going to make money from that. They're going to, you know, people are going to tune in, and they're already selling the show, so they're making the money, you know. But he totally walked away from that, and I just don't understand that. And as the article said, you know, he won't be the $50 million man, because that payday envisioned 10 episode third and fourth seasons and lucrative DVD sales, which are not going to be happening. You know, so I still, as with many other people, don't understand what that was about. He also said, just to give you a little clue as to how quirky he is that he would come back to work at the network if the network allowed him to donate his paycheck to charity. Okay, but apparently he still hasn't returned, and the network people haven't really talked to him since December, Herzog, but, you know, Doug Herzog, as a matter of fact, but they're still going to go on with the show, and he's left still looking like, I hate to say it, a bit of an idiot. He's still trying to go around and get back on the scene, and doesn't want to talk about it, but you know that's the burning question for everyone. So, you know, I don't know if he's ever going to get that kind of chance again. I think people like him, but they're probably not willing to bank on him because they're not sure if he will bolt on them again. So he may not have that opportunity again that he had before. And basically, you know, he blew, I think, a once-in-a-lifetime deal. That's something that every comedian, every starlet, everybody is working towards, and he got it, and he walked away from it, and he blew it. I'm sure he's not, you know, dirt poor. I'm sure he's doing, you know, he's doing some stand-up and stuff like that, but, you know, nothing, I think, is going to compare to what he walked away from. And I hope to God that he, you know, wakes up, and if they have any kind of relationship, which I don't know if they do, you know, maybe he will come around and kind of get himself back together and do what he can do and hopefully have another shot at a really wonderful big contract. Because you see, what Dave forgot, sometimes it's just not all about you. That $50 million, it could have been for you to do what you needed for you and your family. But again, you could have done so much to help, you know, with some young black comedians or whomever to help them, you know, open up a school, open up something. But he could have done so much, you know, but he got focused on the whole issue being just about him. You know, you got to get a bigger perspective, Dave. We like your comedy. We like the block party, but we would love to see you on Comedy Central again. So get it together and come on back. Let me shift gears now. It looks like that Dan Rather, you know, former CBS Evening News anchor, has landed a new job at HDNet. He's going to host a weekly news program that's going to offer, you know, in-depth interviews and field reports and things like that. Interestingly enough, HDNet was founded by Mark Cuban, owner of the Dallas Mavericks, and he basically promised Dan Rather full editorial control. Now, it's a little different for Dan because he was used to CBS where there was, you know, millions and millions of households watching his show, but HD Network is available in just 3 million homes, but that isn't something that bothers Dan, because really what he said is he wants to do something that's meaningful. And remember, I talked about two podcasts ago about how I think Ed Bradley was kind of in a work slowdown, and to some degree I think Dan Rather too, because really what they're doing is they're pushing out some of the guys that have been there, the hardcore, I'm talking about real reporters, they're kind of pushing them aside and getting ready for Katie Couric, who, you know, I don't think she has as much substance as these guys and the credibility from the work that they did. But they're making the room for Katie. And I'm sure, you know, Dan left because he wasn't being given enough airtime for meaningful reporting, which means they were kind of taking things away from the old established guard and making room for Katie, who's going to be coming in September. I mean, and that's really what's going on. So you have Ed Bradley, who's in a little snit, slowing down on his work. He hasn't left, but he's still there, but slowing down and probably in a silent protest. And then you have Dan Rather, who after 44 years at CBS, you know, left because they were treating him like crap and not giving him meaningful work. So again, it'll just be interesting to see how all of this pans out with Katie, because there's a lot riding on this, and I think a lot of people are probably not happy about it, but we're just kind of waiting to see. And it kind of shows, I think, perhaps the lack of loyalty that they've shown him. You know, he's been a great reporter. I don't agree with everything, but he's been a great reporter to end his career in such a creepy way. But let's talk about a little bit about loyalty. It's kind of the same thing that Star Jones is going through now. She was in the news for about maybe, you know, a week and a half ago with her exit from The View. And I think it's interesting, and I mentioned this in a previous podcast, that there didn't seem to be any loyalty with Barbara Walters and between Star. I mean, Star, you selected her to be part of The View, and she'd been on the show, you know, 9 years since its inception. And then all of a sudden, you know, there's a change, and you want to bring Rosie O'Donnell on, and suddenly that's where your loyalty went. It wasn't to Star, which I found, you know, very interesting. And to me, it kind of speaks of what often happens, that, you know, Star was a sister, and she was there amongst these little pampered white women. And, you know, when she started kind of, you know, getting a little too big for her britches during her Bridezilla period, you know, and all of that, you know, they didn't like that, you know, because she was upstaging them. And, you know, she's, quote, new money, so to speak. And so what happened? They found a reason to get rid of her, saying that it was due to research. But I don't think people really cared, you know, that she had this glitzy wedding or that she really lost this weight. There were other issues behind the scenes. And they just figured it was time for Star to go. And also, I can't think of why they would think of Rosie O'Donnell. There has to be somebody far more interesting than that to put on that show. But then again, maybe it isn't, because look at the show. It's just a bunch of white chicks sitting around talking, you know, pampered white chicks, pampered out of touch white chicks sitting around talking. So it'll be very interesting to see as they're doing the little casting couch and having people come in. You know, it's really a shot in the arm for The View anyway, because, you know, I don't know how many people tuned in, but, you know, they're really tuning in with this little musical chairs thing that's going on. But it'll be interesting to see if, in fact, they replace Star with another African-American. Are they going to dance around it and perhaps put a Latino in there? Or will it be just another white woman? So it'll be interesting to see who fills that fourth seat in a permanent move. But again, what we saw in that situation was there was no loyalty. Barbara didn't have Star's back. In fact, what happened was they pushed the sister out, and then they all gather around once again, as if, you know, she didn't exist, or, you know, she didn't play by the rules. and just tell people she'd found another job and play by the rules like Barbara wanted her to. She stepped out of the box a little bit to save her dignity. I commend her for that. I don't agree with everything that she does, but, you know, I think she did what was right to save save face. But it will be interesting to see, you know, how she lands on her feet or if she is able to land on her feet. So that will bear watching, and that will be interesting to see what happens. But, you know, loyalty gets lost sometimes when there's time for a change or when the powers that be decide that they don't want you anymore. And that's basically, you know, what happened to her. Let's move a little bit to talking about, you know, Warren Buffett again. It's very interesting because he gave away that $30.6 billion to Bill Gates, you know, and now the foundation is worth almost $60 billion. But it's very interesting because this was a relationship in contrast, Bill Gates and Warren Buffett. Bill Gates, you know, made his money very young at 19 with Microsoft and rode that wave, and Buffett, you know, he was an investor. He came to his money much slower than Gates did. But in any event, you know, they found a meeting of the minds, because the Gates Foundation has a stellar reputation in terms of how they manage their money and the projects they do. And Warren Buffett was looking at who would be the one who could understand that amount of money and who is able to handle it well. And, you know, he gave it to a person that he had a relationship with and a person that he felt would do well by giving that money away. So it's very interesting, and it gets back to how important, you know, relationships are in the philanthropic world. And it's just, you know, this is the news that everybody in the philanthropic community is talking about. But what Warren Buffett realized was, yes, he was a great investor and he built Berkshire Hathaway, but he said in a quote that he wasn't really cut out, you know, for the big giveaways. So he went to someone that he had a relationship with, that he was friends with, and that's who he decided that he would give his money that way. So don't underestimate the power of relationships, because you never know what can happen or who's going to decide, you know, where they'd like to leave their money. And it's also that whole situation got people thinking about how they can start their own charitable foundation. And for the most part, most foundations have a minimal initial investment of $10,000, $25,000. And that can be a lot of money for some people. But the organization that I work with, which is the United Black Fund of Greater Cleveland, we have a donor advised fund, which you can start for $1,000, and it puts you on the way to having your own charitable donor advised fund. So, you know, if you're interested in that, drop me a note and I can tell you more information about that. But what it is saying is that there are many ways to do things, and do your homework, and if you have a cause and there's something you want to do, then perhaps starting your own charitable foundation, or at least investing in an organization that has a philanthropic fund, is the way that you can help your legacy to live on. So anyway, I think I've bent your ear a little bit more than enough. Just glad to be back with you, and I won't let the holiday get in my way again, but you know, sometimes you need a little bit of a break. In any event, I still want you to contact me so I can hear from you guys. Leave me an audio message at 206-309-7325. I'd love to hear from you, and I can't wait to hear from you. So again, thanks to all my fans around the world. Keep tuning in, pass the information along, and we're just going to enjoy this ride as the podcast Digital Sister grows. Thanks for tuning in, and I'll be back with you in a few days. Take care.
Who tests you can mess with this song?